Hare Krishna. I'm here in Budapest, and Indrajit Maharaj has arrived last night, and he'll be staying here in Hungary for a week, so I'll be trying to also put on his lectures that he's giving regularly to the devotees on Sharit. In fact, we'll try and put this morning's class on today as well. I wasn't able to go there since I went to the doctor's early this morning. Okay, here's a question from Ramadevi and Rajasevaki in Mayapur, and this is more to do with what names, address, more specifically, to call ladies. In your podcast on addressing women as Prabhu, you spoke of the correct way for men to address women, but not of how women should address each other. There's no scriptural injunction that women should see each other as mother. So what is the correct address for women to use? Often we have women who are older than us or our peers calling us Mataji, which doesn't make sense. Also, are some women given Devi as part of their name and some only Dasi? Who's permitted to address a woman Devi, as we've often heard that only a husband can address his wife this way? Can anyone else? Srila Prabhupada gave no credence within our Vaishnava circles to the traditional terms of Amadidi, Bon Bhai, etc. All terms for addressing mothers, sisters, brothers, etc. So apart from men calling women Mataji, there is no established way to address each other. All right, let's start with the first one. Yes, men should address ladies as Mataji, and the husband calls his wife Devi. What do ladies call each other? I just had an intrusion, so let me go back. As far as ladies addressing each other, my understanding is the following. Considering that in many songs of the Acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, they would use the phrase Bhai as a brother, as a general address. Oh, my brothers, just worship the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Men can therefore call each other Bhai or brother. Ladies could call each other sister. Although, from what I understood, Srila Prabhupada was not in favor of men calling ladies sister, since men are supposed to see all women as their mother, and that makes for a different kind of relationship. But ladies can call each other sister, and from my time of writing Venu Gita, I remember how the gopis also called each other Amba, or mother. You'll find this in the 14th verse, where they say, Prayo Batamba Vihagamuneo Vanesmin, O mother, in this forest, all the birds have risen onto beautiful branches of the trees. So these are young girls, and still they're calling each other mother. So, following on from that tradition, although it may seem to be strange, but being called Mataji by peers doesn't seem to be out of context. At initiation, as far as I understand, all ladies receive the address or the suffix Devi Dasi. Very often I see women only using one of these names. They use their Krishna Devi or Krishna Dasi. However, the additional respect that women get in our movement is they have both of these titles addressed to their name, Devi Dasi. Dasi is the feminine counterpart of Das or servant, meaning that one is a maid servant. And Devi from Chaitanya Charitamrita adds a real transcendental connotation to the word Dasi, since very often Dasi can also refer to a lowly maidservant, even sometimes a prostitute is called that. So therefore, Devi means resplendent or beautiful or the lovely abode of the worship and sports of Lord Krishna. So it indicates that the dasi is a transcendental dasi, and it's a spiritual dasi. For my understanding, therefore, these two addresses come together. Dasi alone is not sufficient. It should be qualified. And Devi alone is missing its real reference point, a transcendental servant, maidservant. The fact that there's so much ambiguity as well as disagreement on what Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis should be called, particularly in regards to Vaishnavis, it's obvious that our culture needs to be clearly established and worked out. That's something that will take time, but rather than this being a subject of argument and opinion, it would be ideal if these things were all formulated, in this case, by ISKCON's Ministry of Culture. And therefore, it's not just Sri Ram Swami giving his opinion or someone else come giving his opinion, but this is the established norm of conduct and address within the Krishna consciousness movement amongst Vaishnavas. Okay, here's a question Naveen Krishna Prabhu sent in a few times, and it's in relationship between the Bhakti Lata Bija and pure faith. In a podcast of 2000, June 2207, wow, that's 20 years in advance, 200 years in advance. Anyway, it's 2007. So the pure seed of devotional service requires pure faith to accept it, and when someone has pure faith in the process of devotional service, then it can be centered at that point. The Bhakti Lata Bija is already planted within the heart and will begin to grow with the watering of that seed through the process of Sadhu Sangha Bhajan and Kriyas outlined in Srila Prabhupada's books. However, in Srila Bhakti Chintamani, we learn that pure faith is the first sprout of the Bhakti Lata Bija, and that only when the seed is nurtured can pure faith develop. Hence the question, which comes first, the planting, as opposed to just receiving of Bhakti Lata Bija, or pure faith? I.e., is pure faith a prerequisite for the planting of Bhakti Lata Bija, or is it one of the results? Well, the question is relevant. It is, in one sense, nitpicking, because the Bhakti Lata Bija grows, and so does the quantity and even the quality of the faith. The statement is adoshvara. There has to be some degree of faith in order to accept pure teachings, which will be the seed as well as the watering of the bija. However, as that bija is planted and as it begins to grow, then pure faith in its more substantial form, knowledge-based faith, will develop. And it is only that quality faith which becomes the repository for the further development of the creeper of pure devotional service. Therefore, I would say that both of these statements stand as they are. It's just a matter of what stage one wants to take the planting of the seed from. Some faith is required in order to get the bija. Otherwise, one will not take it, and that faith comes from some agyata sukriti, from some basic association with devotees, but it is a very immature stage of pure faith. However, when the creeper actually sets root and begins to grow, then real quality, pure faith becomes manifest, which becomes then the impetus for taking advantage of the further aspects of devotional practice, sadhusanga, bhajana, kriya, anartha, nivritti, tata. Here, just one last point, as with all stages of devotional service, although they seem to be given in some kind of stepwise fashion, actually they're all developing and they're all present simultaneously to some degree or another. So just as I mentioned that faith is present and must be present in order to accept that beach to some extent, but still it may be very faint, just as even at the stage of pure faith, some faint semblance of love for Krishna is also present, but it's only said to be really fully manifest when one comes to the spiritual platform. Similarly, pure faith is there in order to really accept the transcendental teachings of pure Vaishnavas, but it becomes real and visible as the creeper matures and develops further. Hare Krishna.